that was cooking with maple sugar, yeah. Because that...
He had to in the time of the war. We couldn't get only five pounds of sugar a month. So I had to learn. You had to see hired men some of the time, you know, when we had 2,300. I made donuts and I made cookies and I made cake and the frosting and everything with maple syrup. Yeah.
Were there special recipes, yeah. Special desserts?
Maple sugar pie, did you ever eat one?
No.
Oh.
See, I'm a diabetic, so yeah. I love them.
My husband was too. He had it real bad. He had to take insulin. You have to take
yes.
insulin?
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Maple sugar pie. So tell me what maple sugar pie is.
Well, I got the recipe here.
So your mother, you must have learned a lot of your recipes from your mother, didn't you?
Yes. That raised donuts and maple sugar pie. Get both recipes, isn't it?
Is this what, a Warren cookbook?
Yeah,
So these are from the old time?
No, well, some of them are, yes, but it's supposed to be, it's, they gotta cut it up in town. I don't know where that would be. This is my raised donuts. You ever make raised donuts?
Yes.
Those are good. You take those and maple syrup.
Half a cup lukewarm water, a teaspoon of sugar, a cake of yeast, 2 cups milk scalded and cooled, half a cup Crisco, half a cup sugar. Now the half a cup sugar would be maple sugar?
No, white
no,
sugar.
White sugar.
Yeah.
An egg, a teaspoon of salt, 3 cups flour. But when you made raised donuts before, I mean, when he said you made them, did you used maple sugar?
No, not in those, I didn't. But I could in the others, but I don't know if I ever tried it in these. Where my pie is, put it in.
Now, did your mother make the pie, too?
Oh, yes. Yeah, my mother made a lot of pies. Nothing any better than maple sugar pie. Albert loved it. One time when he was up to the sugar house, of course I had to take his dinner lunch up to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had taken up his potato and meat and gravy and whatever, vegetable. Damn, soap bothers me. Mm-hmm. If I talk or sing, I can't. Well, I don't know where it is. I gotta get something to put on my mouth, I guess. Funny put out book.
It's sort of neat. The kids did it, huh?
Yeah. The kids, they done it for the school or something. I don't know. Just who started it. It was quite a few years ago.
89, I think. They're all cakes. Pastries. Apple crunch. Maple sugar pie, Thelma Neal.
Don't have to make either.
One egg, maybe I'll try this. 1 egg, 2 cups maple sugar, or 2 cups good syrup. Which would you use?
The fancy if I had it. I used to, must always have it because we made a lot of fancy.
2 tablespoons flour, a piece of butter or oleo, size of an egg. I like that. A large egg or a phantom egg?
Either one. One time, Albert's cousins was here, and they was asking me how I made this and that. I said, how long do you bake it? Well, I said, till it's done.
And 2 teaspoons vinegar.
Yeah.
Stir it all together.
Cuts that syrup, you see. That's sweet.
Yeah. Yes. Bake in 2 crusts. Uh-huh. Till golden brown. At 400.
It's hard to make. I took one up to town meeting. Of course, we all take something for town meeting and put it together. And I made this large pie. And they come along, wonder what kind of pie I wanted. And I said, I want one piece of my own. And they said, what did you bring? And I said, maple sugar. You brought maple sugar pie? And I said, yeah, I did. And the fellow sat across from us. He said, you bring sugar, maple sugar pie, Thelma? And I said, yeah. I said, I want a piece. And Albert said, I want a piece. And Raymond sat beside of us, and he want a piece. And I took a piece, so they want me to slip. And one of the girls, she's in a nursing home now and lived up here, lived side of her all her life. And she says, that's Thelma's maple sugar pie, and I want a piece. And she took out a piece and put it in the refrigerator for herself. So it didn't last too long.
I think maybe I'm going to have to try it.
It's good. It's awful good.
And your mother, what other kinds of pies did your mother make?
Oh, we made berry pie and apple pie and go and pick our berries. We'd go and pick our own berries, usually different places rather than where nobody lived. And down to Granville Woods, we used to go down there.
In Granville Woods?
Granville Woods, yeah. Where'd you come, over?
Yeah, through Granville.
Through Granville.
Down that way, it used to be called Codfish Corners.
Yeah. Over Hancock Mountain, Middlebury Mountain, and this mountain, they don't keep it open the winter time.
Yeah.
That's a miserable mountain.
Lincoln Mountain.
So is McCullough Turnpike. I don't like that.
I hate it
too. I don't like it even in the summertime. That's Nellie Freeman and wants to come over. They live in a trailer park in Virginia. And she said, I'm scared to death of that man. And they had trouble up there one night. She was driving and they couldn't make it. And they couldn't, it was so slippery they couldn't get turned around. They had an awful time. She scared her most of the day. I thought they must be home and she called and they were still to Waitsfield. They'd got 6 miles. They had to dig, Waylon took a shovel and dug in the bank and got some dirt to put on there before they could get turned around. She's afraid to come over there now, and I don't blame her a darn bit.
It's terrible. And
it's terrible going down the other side. I hate that.
Yeah, I agree. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about, and I'm very interested in, is the store that you owned.
The what?
The general store.
General store, yeah.
And I just was going to ask you how you got involved in it. You were farming, did you?
No, we had quit farming. We were down here at the village living. We had moved down here. And this part of this long that we, Melvin and B. Long, they were kind of going under the wrong way. They weren't making anything and they'd spend it faster than they could get it, I guess. But I don't know what, anyway, they wanted to sell it. And they kept at Albert about buying it. Every time he'd go down, why don't you buy a store, Albert? And Albert said, I don't want a store. I don't know anything about a store. I never worked in one or nothing. Well, she said, you can learn, Albert. You can learn. Said, to make you and Tom a good job. Well, they kept at us. And Albert said, I don't want no store. I said, I'll be tied down there all the time, and I've been tied down all my life on a farm. I don't want no store. But they got real desperate, and he said, well, finally the son took it over, and he run it for a little while. And They weren't making, they weren't making anything, I guess. They'd sell up their stuff, and then they wouldn't replenish it. And you've got to replenish your stock, or you don't have no business. And the boy said to Albert one night, he went in to get some gas or something, I don't know what, but said, what you going to give us for the store tonight, Albert? Albert said, I ain't going to give you anything because I don't want it. Well, how much do you give us? And Albert stopped and thought, and he said, I don't know. I don't even want it. Well, he says, give us a price. I said, I'm going down, and I'll see. There are folks are down in Massachusetts then. I said, I'm going down this weekend to see them, and I'll tell them what you give us for it. And well, Albert said, I'll give you so much. And well, he said, they won't take that for it. And well, Albert said, I don't want it anyway. And so he went down and he come back and he come right up that night till he come back and he says, I suppose you're happy now. Well, Albert said, why? Well, he said, well, folks are going to sell you the store. Well, Albert says, I don't want it. Well, he says, they're going to sell it to you. So we bought it and we done good. We done real good in the store.
This store here?
No, the one that they took down. over by the picture in where that fence is, that's where our store was. And this is it right here.
Oh, yes.
In the middle.
Yeah.
It was a nice store. We had an apartment upstairs. 6 rooms in the bath, I think it was, and we rented that to a woman. It was a good business. We done well. We had help some of the time, and some of the time we were alone, but Albert's help kind of went, and we had to cancel the loan, and he wasn't good for a long time. And it was my job to go down and start at 8 o'clock in the morning and build my own fires, and it was too much. That was the whole thing of it. We ran it 15 years, and then we quit. Thought it was enough. We got a chance to sell it and sold it. But we had most everything in there. One fella from up in Prickly Mountain, in Alpine Village, I guess it was, he'd come down and he said, "I bet I've got you stuck, Albert. I want something. I bet you haven't got it." Well, Albert says, "What do you want?" We had the stuff hanging down. We had so much in there. We had it hanging down, you know, like dish pans and things that we had handled. We'd hang it up next to the ceiling and let it hang down. And he said, "I bet you haven't got any roofing." Albert says, "Come out in the back room." So we had another back room, and that was full. He said, "My God, I didn't think you had it. I thought I had you stuck this time." We had nails and screws and bolts and all that stuff, you know, out in the back room. I'd have gone nobody see it. But he sold it to him, and we had a real good business. We had run it 15 years. We had an auction, but we had it, and they didn't advertise it. You know, we tried all summer to get an auctioneer, and they'd say, yeah, they'd do it such a time, and then when it come that time, they wouldn't do it. And so it got to be, what was our anniversary, 7th of November, when we had the auction. And of course, it was a rainy day, and it was cold, and we didn't have no crowd at all. There wouldn't be more than 3-4 in there at a time. So we lost our shirt on our anniversary. We finally quit. Albert says, "I'm not going to sell anymore. There ain't nobody to buy, and you didn't advertise it enough, and I'm just going to quit. I'm not going to sell anymore." So they bought some of the stuff, you know. They made a good thing out of it, but we didn't. We didn't make nothing out of it.
Well, you sold the store to somebody else, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, afterwards, yeah. We sold it to Merle Cannon that run the picture in.
Merle?
Cannon, yeah. She used to be Merle Drew. He used to be her father. Yes, her father was a mail carrier, years ago. There was a trouble with the line. They had trouble ever since I can remember. And they thought they owned the way to the store. Well, they had the line run. And come to find out, they didn't own way to the store. We owned half of the driveway. And in the wintertime, Von Drew was there alone. And in the wintertime, we'd put our truck up in there, you know. And she didn't say anything. Mrs. Drew didn't. But when the youngest daughter come, Peggy, she raised Cain, and she wanted us to get our truck out of there. Well, Albert says, "I'm not going to take it out of here." I said, "They're plowing the roads, and they can't plow the roads, and my truck's out of the road, and I'm going to leave it up here until they..." I said, "You aren't using it, are you?" "Well, and she might any time." Well, Albert says, "If you want to use it, just let me know, and I'll come out and move it." Well, she's pretty snotty about it, but we kept it up in there just the same. But they still claimed that they owned way to the store. The first time they put trees, set out spruce trees or pine right next to the store, way up next to the windows. They didn't like the looks of that store, you know, it didn't go good with their business. And I think this John Spalding, I think it owned it then. And he said, he come in the store and said, "How do you like my trees, Mr. Spalding?" "Well," he says, "they look very good, but," he says, "before you go back to work today, you better take them trees out of there." "Well, why?" "Well," he says, you don't own that way to my store." I said, "You take the trees out of there." So they had to pull them all up and take them out of there. And then the next thing we know, another man come in there and married Mrs. Drew, and he made a picket fence. And he made it right over way to the store. So we couldn't even get up in there. And he went in the store and he said, "We got it all painted and everything. You got a nice fence out here, haven't I?" "Yes." Mr. Taylor owned it then. He married Stella Fuller's mother, Mr. Taylor did, and he was a nice old man, very nice old man. And he said, "It looks very good, but you better..."
Stella Fuller's mother?
Stella Fuller's... He married Stella Fuller's mother, yeah.
I thought she died.
Oh, she did, but she died after that, you know. But
but she died while she was married to Earl Fuller, right?
No, she died... Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, she married him. Whether she died before, I don't know.
Or was she married to him before she was married to Earl?
No, no, it was afterwards. No, it was afterwards. But she might have died before he bought the store. I don't know. But anyway, he bought the same store.
So she and Ruth Cota weren't full sisters?
Yes. Yes, she and Ruth are sisters.
Okay.
And anyway, he said, you better take that fence down out of there. He said, it don't belong to you, away to the store, and you take your fence down before you go back to work. He worked up to Moyne Hunter's Mill. So he didn't like it very good, but he took the fence down. And they kept at us continuously about that driveway. They owned it, and they had it surveyed, and the old fella was an old man. I don't know. He must have been 83, 4 years old. We went way to... I can't tell you where it was. Don't Marshfield is way up north somewhere where he was. He was in this hotel, staying in this hotel, and we found out where he was. And we went up to see him if he would tell us where the line was, because they were after us all the time that we didn't own that. They didn't want us to leave any wood there or anything because they owned that. And we knew better all the time, but we went up there, and he went to his book. He was laying down on his bed, I remember. And he got up and went to his drawer, took out his book, and he had everything but that one sheet. And somebody had taken out that one sheet. He didn't have it. And he said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Albert. He said, I'll let you have my, I don't know what he called that thing, but anyway, he'd go around and it would point right down to where the stake was. What do they call it?
Oh, I don't know, some kind of meter.
Yeah. He said, I'll let you take that, and when you get done with it, just send it back to me, will you? And Albert says, sure will. So we come home, and when they want nobody around, you know, Albert went out to see if he could find it. He says, I can tell you right where it is. He says, it's almost in the middle of their garage door, one of them, and the other one is right down by your bulkhead, just a little ways from your bulkhead out towards their place. He said, you can find them if you just go back in two. So that'll go right down where the stakes are. And he found them both. And then this Merle Cannon come out one day, and she says, Albert, you're going to sell me your store? And Albert says, yes, I'll sell it to you. Well, how much? And Albert told her how much he'd take. Oh, I can't give that, she says. Well, Albert says, I'll tell you, he says, she kept at him quite a while, and he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He says, if you don't want this store, you forget about it, not keep at me all the time. He says, if I keep it, I'm going to sell out my stuff, and I'm going to raise pigs down here. Of course, you're just fooling it, you know. And she says, you wouldn't do that, would you, Albert? And he says, of course I'd do that. But you see, there was trouble with our septic tank. They all went into the brook years ago, all of them. And of course, ours did, and theirs did. And the two houses over beyond, one around the corner there, and the one over Carter's over Friday, they all went right into the brook. And of course, we had trouble with that. They didn't want us to. We thought after we sold out, maybe we'd put something else in there. We had it sold or almost sold for a restaurant. They wanted to put a restaurant in there. But they wouldn't let them do it because there's too much water involved and no septic business. They wouldn't let them do it. He said, you can use it for your store as long as you want it. But said, after that, whoever buys it, one time they told us we could put our septic right where our tanks was out in the front yard. But we never got that far. And so Albert told her when she wanted to buy it, she called up one day, she had her lawyer over here and wanted to buy it. And Albert says, yeah, I'll sell it. I told you what I'd take for it, and I'll take that for it. Well, she couldn't pay that. Well, Albert says, forget about it then. I'll put the hogs in there.
How long after that did she buy it?
Well, not long after that, before she bought it. She said, well, you come down and bring down your papers, and my lawyer's here today. And then she said, well, give Albert so much, a check of so much. And Albert says, you aren't the one that's selling it, I'm the one that's selling it. He says, if I sell it, I'm going to have a check of so much down payment. And then he says, we'll go from there. So that's the way they sold it. Well, she says, and then she was going to, she had a chance to take that store down. You see, on account of the septic tank, there was trouble because her sister wanted to put something in there. She wanted us to leave some of the shelves in there because she was going to run some kind of a business in there. I don't know what. We never did hear. But they never got that far. They took the store down, and they had a chance to sell that store and get the same price as she paid us, and they were going to take it to Wakefield and put it up. And she wouldn't sell it. She had them tear it down and took it up on the dump road and burnt it on their land up on the dump road. nice doors, almost brand new doors that they'd put upstairs and some downstairs. That was a nice door, a nice hardwood floor and everything. Mm. They just tore it right down. Of course, we was in the bed there, and Albert said, look down to the store. He kept saying, they're going to tear that store down. That's what they're going to do. And I said, they won't tear that store down. She knows more than that. By golly, they did. One morning, he said, look down to the store. They were up there with chainsaws, just sawing it right down. It was terrible. I hated to see that door down.
That must have been so hard.
Yeah.
Well, that was the story that John Spaulding owned,
yeah.
Because I've heard, you know, stories.
Yeah.
So it was around for a long
time.
Oh,
yes, yeah. John's, now is it in this one? I don't know. I see his picture just the other day. And something, John Spaulding's picture. He was a great big man. And Albert went in there one time when he was just a kid. His mother sent him in for something. She didn't want to leave the horse, and so she sent him in to get something. And just John Spaulding had a place where he had his desk up in the shop, kind of up off on the floor. He had to go up two steps to get in there. And he come down off there and pulled his glasses down off there. What do you want, young fella? Albert said I could go on right through the floor. I'm just a kid, you know. He was a great big man, and he acted awful ugly to Albert. What do you want, young fella, he says. Albert said, I pretty near forgot what I was in there for.
Oh, dear. Mm. Well, the concept of the general store has changed so much.
Everything has changed. Everything has changed. Sure has.
Well, I mean, you must have been quite a bit different than the store down here.
Yep. That's John Spaulding, they're over back.
Oh, he was big, tall.
Yeah, hey. He was a big man. I bet he'd weigh 250. He was a big man.
And he owned the store for a long, long time.
Yeah, quite a few years. I don't know how long, but quite a few years. And then this Merle Cannon's grandfather. G.A.R. Bragg, his initials was. He owned the part this way. There used to be three stores right along the road there, and then one over across where Roy Long had. And they bought it, and after they bought it, they put it all together. This G.A.R. Bragg and the picture in, they put it all together so you can go from one right through to the other. Excuse me. Well, my mother sent me in there. I never forget. She gave me 10 cents. Of course, you could buy quite a lot of candy for 10 cents years ago. And I see chocolate, well, just about that big around. And I said, well, I'd like that. And he gave it to me and took my 10 cents and he never gave me any back. And I thought that's funny. He didn't put it in a bag or anything. And I went out and I showed my mother what I got. She said, is that all you got for 10 cents? And I said, yeah. Well, she said, you didn't get enough. I said, that shouldn't have been 10 cents. Chocolate bars, you know, big chocolate bars was only 5 cents then. But I got dipped the first thing.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I did. We used to go to a mill down below here, Butter Tops. And my folks, of course, made butter, and they'd sell it. They had the workers to work it and everything. A big barrel churn, one on each side to churn. So they made their butter, and we'd get these boxes and put the butter in this box and just pack it right in and sell it. 5 pounds, I think they were. So she sent me in. She didn't want to leave me out with a horse and didn't want a place to hitch a horse, so she sent me in to get a butter tub down in the mill. And of course, I was scared more than that. I wasn't very big. I don't believe I was more than 7 or 8 years old, but scared me to get down in that, see all them mills and saws are going, you know, and I didn't hardly dare to get down in there, but I did. A lot different than nowadays, by girl.
Well, there were a whole pile of mills along
the river. Oh, yeah, there was, I don't know how many, 6 or 7, I don't know how many.
And I gather the river was a lot higher in those days.
Oh, yes, it was, yep.
Did it flood much?
Oh, yeah, took out some of them in the flood. I don't know just how much, of course, we was on the hill now, and we didn't come down very often, but I know it took out some of them. Mary and they had a mill down below the village. This is a school up in East Point up by Rupert. Rupert weren't they, but old enough to go to school there. There was two boys that weren't there that day, the Catherine boys. One of them still living.
Oh, he was suggested for me to go see.
Yeah.
What was it? What name?
Merrill Catherine. He lives right down from Rupert's, right straight across, and then out in there, second Well, there's a house around the corner, trailer, I guess it is, and there's some more been built in up. But he's the second one, I think, out in there on that road.
Do you think he'd be good to talk with?
Oh, yes, yeah. She, yes, she would be real good. This is Edla Martin, that's me. And this is Nellie Jones, and this is the other Laro girl, and that's my sister Eva, that's my brother Raymond, and this is Bud Jones, Eldon Jones.
Oh, Eldon Jones, yeah. Yeah.
That's him, and this is his sister.
No kidding.
And then the two Catherine boys weren't there. See, Irma Laro, she had, that's what she, there's somebody though. But this one is 79.
Yeah, there was another Laro that I was suggested to see too.
Jack Laro? Waitsfield? Everett Laro?
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah.
That whole pile of people. Merrill Cathan, that's right. It was also suggested to me that I go see Earl Long in Hancock.
Yeah, he lives in Hancock. I can't tell you where, but he lives in Hancock somewhere.
And that he played the banjo and remembers some of the old songs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He could tell you a lot of them also. His brothers, two of them, I think, I'm quite sure there's two of them that played the violin. They used to play to these kitchen junkets and down here at the hall to dance. They were a good player. His father used to sing No Place Like Home. He had his own words to it. I forget how it went, but he used to play chords on the piano, you know, and he'd sing that just like he could sing.
Well, there were a number of, somewhere here, I have an old song that was, no, I guess it's just a poem, that was made up about one of the mills.
One of the mills?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Oh, here it is. Parker and Slayton.
Parker and Ford, isn't it? Parker and Slayton. Now that was a long time ago.
Earl Fuller knew some of the people.
I never heard that. I'd like a copy of this.
Would you? I'll make one for you.
I'd like to show it to Robert. He'd be interested in it.
Okay. I will definitely do that. Another thing I'm interested in are, you know, songs that might have been made up locally, like the Yellow Painted Hack.
Yellow Painted Hack. I don't know. I don't know what it would be, I'm sure.
But, you know, sometimes songs or recitations would be made up about local incidences. Mm. And if you think of any, I'd be, you know, curious in following those up.
Robert sings in the church up here once in a while, or he did before he had his heart attack. He sang, how long has it been since you talked to the Lord? You know that? I've got it on the tape in there. Nellie Freeman and I tried to sing it. We didn't do a very good job, but we got it on the tape. We couldn't, there was a little bit. We had some on a record, but we mm-hmm. couldn't get, a few words we couldn't get. So we called Robert and asked him if he could tell us. Well, he said, I've got it here somewhere, but the woman he's lived with ain't too good a housekeeper, so we couldn't find it. But we finally got it. Nellie got it from somebody over the other side of the mountain. And you want to hear it?
Yeah.
You know, I'll put it on there, probably.
Probably.
I don't know what that's on the table. Well, I've got Raymond's music.
Oh!
I don't know why she ever got it. But.
Huh, I wonder if it's something Jennifer copied for her, maybe. I think Jennifer has him both playing and singing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's since then. That was just a few years ago that this one was taken.
Shall I put it on?
I don't care.